Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Celebrate City of David. Anybody ready this morning? Join hands with somebody. Father, this month, he said, is a month of new beginnings. This morning, God wants to begin to reposition us for a lot of new beginnings. I want you to pray that God will find something in your life that needs to start anew. God will make changes where necessary. God will launch you where you have waited for too long. God will lift a barrier, take off a ceiling, take off an embargo. God will start something new in your life. I want you to look at where you are now and say, Lord, it's time for a change. We've been in this mountain long enough. I want a new beginning. Come true for me. Come true for me. Break those hands. Put them on your chest. Say, Lord, I'm talking about me right now. I've prayed for my neighbor. Now I'm talking about me. I want a new beginning. Do something new. This business cannot continue like this. This marriage cannot go on this way. My assignment cannot continue this way. My destiny can't continue on this trajectory. I want something new. Once again, we love you, appreciate you. Thank you for sitting next to me today. Thank you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to church and all of you worshiping online. We thank you so much for the access this morning. It's a special Sunday morning for us today. We have some Thanksgiving, and after then, we have our teens program in the second service, which promises to be very exciting. But just before we do that, we're going to go straight into the Word of God for time's sake. And before I bring to you the Word of God this morning, I want you to watch this 2 minutes video, which introduces the new series we begin today, which actually is running through the month of September, called Reinvent or Reinvent Yourself. I will explain as we move on. Is the video ready? Is it ready? All right. Please, I'd just like you to watch that, and then we're going to move on. Let's make sure you have enough audio on the video. Thank you.
This is a story of an eagle. An eagle has the longest lifespan of its species. It can live up to 70 years. But to reach this age, however, the eagle must make some tough decisions. In its 40th year, its long, flexible talons can no longer grab prey, which serve as food. Its long, sharp beak begins to bend. Its old, aged, and heavy wings, due to their thick feathers, stick to their chest and make it difficult to fly. Then the eagle is left with only two options: die or go through the painful process of change. The process requires that the eagle fly to a mountaintop and sit on its nest. There, it knocks its beak against a rock until it plucks it out. Then the eagle will wait for a new beak to grow before it plucks out the talons. When the new talons grow back, the eagle starts plucking its thick, heavy feathers. And after this, the eagle takes its famous flight of rebirth and lives for another 30 years. Why is the change needed? To survive and live. We too have to start the change process. We also have to pluck our unpleasant memories, negative habits, and fixed mindset. Only freed from the past burdens can we take advantage of the present.
Shall we pray? Speak to us, Heavenly Father. We ask that the Spirit of God will bring His light of illumination into our very lives as we enter into this season of change. Jesus healed the sick, set the captives free, break the bands of oppression, give somebody a brand new day. We give you all the glory, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
For the last time, say a better amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Isaiah 40 and 29. Because of time, I'm going to run very quickly, and I hope you understand. Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, increased strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men will utterly fall. Now, I want everybody to read with me the last part, two, go. Let's take it again, that last part, from they that wait upon the Lord, two, go. That wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagle, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, that word shall renew their strength, even though all our lives we have interpreted it as something that has to do with the spiritual, which actually it is. But I want you to have an historical perspective to shall renew their strength. The renewal of the strength the Bible speaks about is pretty much like what happens to the eagle when it comes to moment of decision. Everybody say moment of decision. Now, the story says that when the eagle clocks 40, something begins to happen to it. He realizes that he has a lot of dreams. He has a lot of great things he wanted to achieve. But at 40, he realizes that the beak that used to be very sharp and can destroy any prey, can crack rocks, suddenly has become bent and no longer effective. Number two, he discovered that the talons, which is the toenails, which could carry a prey bigger than the eagle, now has become very old and weak and can no longer carry prey. But the worst part, it discovers that the feathers have become so thick and old that this eagle that could take flight and soar can no longer soar like it used to be. Now, that's exactly what Isaiah was talking about when he says, even the youth will faint and will be weary. The young men will utterly faint and they will be weary. He says, a point comes in your life where you will discover that you have a lot of great things you know God called you to do. A point comes in your life where you discover there are some big stuff God spoke to you about. And then at this particular season of your life, you just discover that now you're going around in circles. Your effectiveness has diminished. Your impact is lesser. The things that used to be easy are now a struggle. Somehow you discover that productivity level has dropped sharply. And you are wondering what's going on. The Bible says for the eagle is a moment of decision. And for you is also a moment of decision. For the eagle, he has to make a choice. Number one, let's manage this way until we die. And you know, tragically, that's what a lot of people do. They get to this particular period in their lives where it looks like not much is happening. Everything is now a merry-go-round. Not much progress or impact is being made. And instead of returning back to say, what do I need to change? A lot of people just manage through. Find an explanation around the mediocrity of the moment. And that's where many people die. But for the ego, it's a decision moment. You either manage like this and die, or go through the painful process of a rebirth. So for the ego that takes the tougher option, sadly, most people take the easier option. Let's endure. I'm doing better than my neighbor, by the way. You know, if the ego wanted to compare itself with all the chicken around, I hope there'll be no need for a rebirth. The worst form of the eagle is better than the best form of the chicken. Does anybody agree with me? Am I talking to you this morning? If the eagle wanted to look at his neighbors, just look down the mountain and see all the chicken. Say, Abba, number one, I'm on top of the mountain. You guys are down the valley. Number two, see how much I've achieved. You guys haven't achieved much. You see pecking stuff on the ground. The eagle can relax and say, you know what? I'm 40. Not everybody got to 40. I've achieved a lot. Not much. Not many people have achieved what I've achieved. I think I'm just going to settle like this and die. But just in case the ego says, no, this is not what God called me to do. This is not what he showed me in the revelation. This was not what the prophecy said about my destiny. This is not what God told me I was going to accomplish. There's so much more in my future. Then it must go through the painful process of the rebirth. Listen to this. The alternative to going through the painful process of the reinventing or the rebirth, ladies and gentlemen, is what Isaiah spoke about. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So you will realize, number one, the things you used to do easily, now you are struggling to do them. It's called faint and be weary. And then he said, even the young men will utterly fall. With all the strength of the young man, the glory of the young man is his strength. You just discover that you're not doing much any longer. It's a critical stage that every human being here will come to in life. And many people are already there as I speak right now. But it's called decision moment. Maybe I should just call this series moment of decision. Maybe people will relate better with it. Moment of decision. What I'm speaking about this morning, does it make sense to anybody? Now, for those of you who are still in the university, it won't make sense to you yet. You know what I'm talking about? So every Wednesday, I've made up my mind, instead of talking to you on reinventing yourself, I'll be speaking on discovering your purpose every Wednesday. Because some of you have not even found who you are, first of all, to talk about reinventing what you don't even know. So keep this sermon note. You will need it when you get to 40-something years old or 30-something years old. Keep it. But every Wednesday, I'll be speaking on discovering your purpose throughout the month of September, because there's some deep stuff, and it will benefit both the old and the young, because even a lot of old people haven't quite discovered themselves. Are you with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, this decision of the ego, once it has taken the painful part of going through changes, removing the feather, destroying the talons, cutting off the beak by scraping it against the rocks, and then eventually a new one grows, guess what? The eagle adds another 30, 40 years to his life, as against the one that took the easy option that dies at 40. The question this morning is, how many of us are willing to look at your life right now and say, I know I was called to do better than this? What is spoke to me is much more than what I'm achieving right now. There's so much more on my inside that has not seen the light of day. And I don't think this is where I want to die. I think I'm going to take the painful process. If there's anybody like that, let me see your right hand. I want to pray. If there's anybody like that, and I don't expect every hand to be up, because not everybody actually will be able to pay the price. But is there anyone that wants to say, Pastor, this series is for me. I'm going through the process. I want to reinvent myself. I want to see a new me. I want to see greater possibilities. I can have better results. My future is brighter than my now, and I'm willing to go this journey. Lift up your right hand if you are the one I'm talking to. Father, it is to these people that I came this Sunday morning, and all through the month of September, they are the ones I'll be speaking to. I pray that the glory of heaven will tabernacle over us. I pray our destinies will never be the same. I pray that the power of God will find expression in our lives. I pray that this journey that we're about to walk, it may be tough, it may be painful, but every one of us will go through it. At the end, Jesus will be glorified. Our generation will not be disappointed, and we shall be happy for it. We'll look back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, and we'll say, thank you, Father, that I took the painful pathway. I took the difficult way, and I did not take the easy way out. We'll look back and we'll thank God. And guess what? Even our generation will be grateful for us for taking the difficult pathway and paying the price that was necessary for us to bless them. I know you've answered our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I can't hear you. I said in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I do not have time to share with you about the necessity for reinventing yourself. By the way, what does it mean to reinvent? Please give me the slides. What does it mean to reinvent yourself or to rediscover yourself? Or what does it mean? Please give me the definitions, because I don't have time. Number one, it means to change. I can't even see it. All right. Are you there? All right. It means to, read it with me, to go. To change something so much that it appears to be entirely what? New. Number two, it means to completely change or remake it so thoroughly that it looks like it's brand new. Am I right? The final one, it means to bring back or to revive. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. May God revive the dreams. May God revive the grace. May God revive the visions. May God revive everything in you that seems like it's not working as it should work. Let me hear louder. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the course of this series, I'll be speaking to you about different Bible characters that are to go through this journey, and what exactly was it that they had to do in order for them to reinvent themselves. I'll be speaking on different characters in the Bible, and there's quite a lot to learn about. I have about 10 on the series, but I will choose just like 6 of them, because we don't have that number of Sundays throughout the month of September. Amen. Please answer me, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very first of them is the gentleman by the name of Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. For the last time, say Joseph. Please answer me better and say Joseph.
Joseph.
The character of Joseph in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most popular characters in the Bible, because pretty much all through scripture is one of the people that put side by side with the personality of Jesus is exactly a type of Jesus in the old covenant. So much that even his name, Joseph, meaning addition, is exactly what Jesus' name means, literally, because he says, I have come that you may have life. I have come to give you addition. So Joseph and Jesus literally stand side by side in terms of light and revelation, in terms of what they came to do and their experiences through life, which we don't have time to talk about. Joseph had to come, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph had dreams, like all of us had dreams, great dreams. And gentlemen, those dreams were great dreams, and it was intimidating everybody and even annoying some people in the family. But as time began to go on, ladies and gentlemen, those dreams looks like they were just dreams. He kept talking about them and talking about them. Joseph himself knew that some things had to change. How they will change, he wasn't too sure. But ladies and gentlemen, look up here. Things began to happen in the life of Joseph that he had to come to some decision. He had to decide, do I go this way or do I go this way? And so I'm going to be speaking to you about the tests Joseph had to go through for reinventing. The very first test, ladies and gentlemen, is called the test of service. Everybody say after me, the test of service. I can't hear you say the test of service. For the last time, say the test of service. All right. The story of Joseph began by introducing him to us as a man who the father loved so dearly. Maybe I should just read that from Genesis chapter. Okay, leave that alone. It's not really important. Was a man the father loved so dearly, gave him a coat of many colors. And don't forget also, Joseph was the son that was the last born at the time before Benjamin was born. But much more than that, ladies and gentlemen, he was the father's favorite. Is there anybody here who has been a last born in the family and daddy's favorite? Can I see your hand? How many of you know they send every other person errand apart from you? Come and talk to me or somebody. And when all the other children complain, say, leave him alone. Is he not the last born? Leave him alone. After all, when you were like him also, we know they send you. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? Usually all his elder ones are angry with him, because when others do something, the father will beat them. When he does something, nobody touches him, true or false? Am I talking to you this morning? The dream Joseph had was a dream that everybody is bowing down to him, not him bowing to anybody. So naturally, Joseph grew up with this air of, I'm not supposed to be serving anybody in this house. Even God himself showed me the dream. People are supposed to be serving me. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Even God himself confirmed the fact that I didn't come to this place to serve anybody. So let us face it. Even God has affirmed the fact that I'm not here to run errands for anybody. So when you send Joseph message, Joseph will frown. And his father was there to protect him. He was daddy's special son. And so all through his upbringing, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph was not used to running off errands. He wasn't used to doing stuff. All his elder brothers did everything. That was why on the day that he actually took food to his brothers, they were not expecting him. They didn't know he was going to come. So when they saw him, they said, this is our opportunity. Here comes the dreamer. If we don't deal with him now, we won't catch him again. This one that he came to serve for the first time. This is our opportunity to discipline this stupid idiot who is always telling off of his nonsense dream that he's always having. Are you still with me, somebody? Now, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? So Joseph eventually got sold as a slave. Arrives in the house of Mr. Potiphar. And guess what? The boy that every other person runs errand for, the boy that every other person serves, was now engaged as a slave. Joseph had to make up his mind whether to sit down and cry for the rest of his life and say, Chai, I don't even know the roads to market. I don't even know how they sweep out, let alone to wash plates. Ladies and gentlemen, the first test of Joseph was the test of service. He got to Potiphar's house. First 3 days, perhaps, he would have done some cry and say, God, how am I going to adapt? How am I going to change? But guess what? This guy sat down, looked at his reality and said, you know what? I have to pluck off the whole feather. That feather that says every other person serves me. I have to destroy this beak that says that I don't go to market. I have to take off the talons that says that everybody is bowing to me. I have to learn how to bow to everybody and allow nobody bow to me inside this house. Ladies and gentlemen, It was not an easy or an easy adjustment. But guess what? As it came to pass in the process of time, the Bible reported, Joseph served this man so much. The man did not know where his food was. The man did not know where his clothes was. In fact, first of all, the Bible says the presence of the Lord with Joseph began to bless Mr. Potiphar so much that everything around the man was blessed. His business was blessed. His job was blessed. His marriage, everything was blessed. But that wasn't it. The man became so, Joseph served so well. Gentlemen, the Bible says Mr. Potiphar committed everything into the hands of Joseph. He said he doesn't even know where his food was. It's Joseph that tells him, your food is here. This is your food. Come and eat. Are you still with me, somebody? Please answer me. Are you still with me, somebody? Got to prison. You would have thought that having served in Potiphar's house, he ended up being lied against. He would go to prison and say, I thought that service pays. But now I serve. Me, when nobody, I didn't serve anybody before. I can't make I serve. See where service ended me. They lied against me. He would have gotten to prison and say, you know what? I'm reverting back to the other one. He said, no, I've already plucked off that feather. When people serve me, this one, I've made up my mind, I'll be the one to serve. Gentlemen, he served in that prison until they made him the leader of the prison. Have you seen people before who moved from one church to a house on the rock? Join workforce, they say no. Join department, they say no. Why? The former church where I was, that's how I was serving. They now accuse me of something. Does it look like your number? That former church. I said, let me serve, because I love God. I serve. If I tell you what they did to me, shege. Now I vow that any other church I'm going to, I know the minute if I see depart, before you say meant, I've run away. I'll just come, you see that back under the gallery. I will sit down there and be looking at everybody like this. Before they say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see that door over there? I have the passwords to the door. Before they say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, bam, I'm gone. No pastor will know me. No head of department will know me. I have sworn that shege they did to me in my last church will never happen again to me in my life. The first test to reinventing yourself is called the test of service. And there are people in this church who have been here for 6-5 years. They don't know how chairs are arranged. They don't know how floor is swept. They don't know how prayer is conducted. They don't know how choir does rehearsal. They don't know and they don't care and they are ready to die not caring because of the shege that happened in their former church. But I came to announce to you, if you really want to make any significant progress in your destiny, there's one way forward. There's one test you must pass. It's called the test of service. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, dealing with the bitterness of your past and refusing therefore to commit to God. I pray that God will grant you grace to overcome your bitterness in the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 47 says, Deuteronomy 28:47. It says, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and singleness of heart, for the abundance of all things, what will happen to you? It says you will serve your enemies that God sends against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in the want of all things. And he said, guess what? When he's done dealing with you, he will now put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has finished you. Coming to a church and not serving is very dangerous. Coming to a church and not getting committed, it's okay in your first 2 years. You are still checking us out. You are still trying to find out after 2 years, what are you looking for? Angel Gabriel and Michael? And they don't exist here. Yeah, we are human beings. We make mistakes. We are not perfect. From the pastor to all the workers, we are not perfect. Is anybody hearing me? We will make mistakes like you do. Sometimes we will say things you don't like. We are not promising you a perfect church, but we are going to try our best. And even when we hurt you sometimes or say something's not right, it's not because we don't like you. It's because we are human and we make mistakes sometimes. You're not going to see perfect ushers and protocol and choir and so on and so forth, but you've got to accept us. And guess what? By the time you move over to that church where it looks better than us, the people there are as mad as us. Just mad in their own way. Come and talk to me, somebody. They're as crazy as us here because there's no perfect church in the world. Are you with me this morning, somebody? Somebody say the test of service. Are you in church this morning? Say the test of service. The second test, ladies and gentlemen, that Joseph had to pass and you have to pass is the test of loyalty. Everybody say the test of loyalty. My God, are you still in church? Say the test of loyalty. I don't know how this series will go, but Holy Spirit will help us. Ladies and gentlemen, so the Bible says in Proverbs, okay, let me just take one scripture. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, very great scripture that I relate to so much, because this scripture was the one word that God used to minister to me when I lost my mother many, many years ago. And Proverbs 17, 17, everybody to go. A friend loved at all times, and a brother is born for what? I can't hear you. A brother is born for what? For the last time, a brother is born for what? How many of you remember that growing up as a young child, Joseph, if there's one thing everybody hated Joseph for, is reporting. Everybody say reporting. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, I think it's verse 2, Genesis 37 verse 2, the Bible says in the last part, and he brought an evil report to his father of his brothers. Evil report. Everybody say evil report. Joseph is always reporting. Any little thing, don't report. Have you seen those kind of last bonds in the family? Very annoying. Anybody knows them? Little thing. I remember my elder brother those days, when my elder brother is stealing and I catch him, he will say, not everything that they see, that they talk. Oh. That is a sign that if I report the conk, everybody say conk. Conk is different from knock. Not everything that they see, that they talk. Oh. And my elder brother used to steal a lot. And he knows that as the last one I will report. You know, that kind of thing. Joseph was used to reporting everybody. Little thing, don't report you. And when you report, the father will now call you. Hey, your brother said you did this one. So, they will now be looking at him, planning the day they will get him. When the father has traveled, they will deal with him. And David, Joseph is used to reporting. Ladies and gentlemen, cut a long story short, Joseph arrives in the house of Mr. Potiphar. You all know the story. Are you still with me? Please answer me. Are you still with me? And the Bible made a report of something. And I want you to listen attentively to this. The Bible reported that, like you said, like I mentioned earlier, but let me read it out. It said, and Mr. Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's house. Genesis 39:6. He left everything in his hand. He knew not what he had, save the bread he ate. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Everybody look up here. The day Potiphar called Joseph and said, Mr. Joseph, sit down. Number one, you are not an Egyptian. You are from Israel. Number two, you are the youngest slave in this house. Every other person is your senior. But I've seen the hand of God upon you. I've come to love you like a personal son. And I want you to understand this. I'm putting everything in this house in your hands. In other words, Potiphar was saying, I'm making a covenant with you. If you want to poison my food, that means you have the right to do so. If you want to poison my drink, you can kill me. I trust you that much with my life and with everything I have. As Mr. Potiphar made that commitment, Joseph too made a commitment. As long as I'm alive, everything that belongs to you, I'll protect with my life. And everybody said, amen. Fast forward. A few years later, Mrs. Potiphar set her eyes on Joseph. If you read the history, the historical account of a man called Josephus, one of the biggest Bible historians, he said Joseph served the man so well, Mrs. Potiphar would call all the big women in the land and say, come and just sit down and watch this boy. I haven't seen any human being serve without flaws, without making mistakes like Joseph. But from admiring his service, she began to develop affection for him. And one day she walked up to him and said, I want to have sex with you. Joseph said, madam, I won't do it. He said, I have a covenant with my boss. Besides, how can I do this wickedness against God? But that's not even the story. You know how it ended. One day she had tried and tried. The boy wasn't responding. She pounced on him. He left the coat for her and ran away. Please listen, everybody. I read something that was very interesting. Everybody, please. Genesis 39. Genesis 39 and verse. Help me now, Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Verse 20. Genesis 39, verse 20. Put it. Now listen. Mrs. Potiphar had accused him. And don't forget this happening 82 div. You know what I'm talking about, because Potiphar is a soldier. You know what I'm talking about. So as they accuse him of trying to rape Joseph's wife, you know how many soldiers have already given him unintended slap and kicks. You know what I'm talking about, without planning. They go as they like pam, pam, pam. You know that kind of thing. That is not even the problem. They've done all that, but this is the one that interested me. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison. Pastor, what is important here? Everybody follow me. If it was, and the police took him to the prison, I understand. Joseph, now, here was Joseph's opportunity to tell his own side of the story. Madam say, you wanted to rape. Now, I'm sure as they were slapping and kicking, he didn't know what to say. But now, they're on their way to prison. And guess who took him? It was Potiphar. If I were Joseph, I would turn and say, Oga, I've served you for the last 5 years. Anything wrong? Eh? Okay. Oga, I've served you for the last 5 years. Oga, have you ever seen any sign that I'm a bad person? Have you ever seen me one day look at madam as she's passing like this? Maybe I'm looking at her backside. Have you ever seen me do any of those things, Oga? Oga, that thing madam said is not true. I didn't do it. Gentlemen, the day he committed himself to say, I will use my life and protect everything that is called Mr. Potiphar's, that day he also vowed to protect his wife. So much that when she lied against him, Joseph, don't forget, this is the guy used to reporting everybody back in the day. Are you in church, somebody? The reporting is his nation. It's in his DNA. Not the new thing for Joseph. Oh. It's a big report. You know, do you have those people in your office that know how to write petition? Some of you have them in your office, but pastor, they don't write petition. They just anointed to write petition, but not in civil service. Gentlemen, Joseph has the ability to explain himself. It's called the test of loyalty. So much that now Potiphar is taking him to prison. Oh, God, talk now. Narrate your own side of the story. He said, the day I opened my mouth to protect everything Potiphar, I vowed to protect his wife. So that she will not look like a liar before her husband. Who knows what it will do to her marriage? Who knows if it will scatter the marriage? I would rather go to prison than to destroy this man's marriage. It's called the test of loyalty. It was the same test David had to face before he became king. When Saul don't pursue him, try to kill him, then on this fateful day, Saul chased him to the wilderness. Saul was sleeping, bodyguard was sleeping. Joseph was standing over him with sword in his hand. The chief of staff looked at him and said, Oga, you are a Christian, I'm not a Christian. You have covenant with God, I don't get covenant with God. We're not asking you to do anything. Just give me the word. I won't strike him twice. Once, his head will leave his body. You become king, I become chief of army staff. Is anything wrong with that? And God will be happy with all of us. And David looked at the man and said, God forbid, I should raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. It is called the test of loyalty. It's not, your test of loyalty is not when your boss is right, it's when he's wrong. Anybody can be loyal when your boss is right. The real test for loyalty is when your boss is wrong. That's when you have all the weapons of mass destruction in your hand. To go back and meet all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, how much will you give me? I have this guy in my hand. I will sell him to you. Just arrange 30 pieces of silver for me. Come on, are you there, somebody? So listen, I know him. At the enter in bedroom, I have information that will kill him. If we put it on Facebook, it don't finish. I have it. Now, maybe in PA or something like that. The test of loyalty is not when your boss is right. It's when he's wrong. Joseph said, for me to destroy this marriage, for me to make madam look bad before her husband, I'll go to prison. That's why David said, a faithful man, who can find? It's not available. And if there's one generation that does not have the word loyalty, it's this generation. They're not committed to anything or anybody. They're just committed to the rave of the moment. Are you still in church? I have 10 to go. I've done 2. My time is over. Let me try half of the third one. Are you still there? I pray for somebody. May God give you grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. I said grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. For the last time, grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen, somebody. I said shout a better amen. The third one is called the test of integrity. I don't know. God, this is not fair. What do I do? Okay, let me try my best and get out of your face. Let me leave that one alone. I don't have time. Let me go to... let me just speak one word on the test of integrity and move on. But I want to really take the last one, the one after it, and close it. You know, now listen to this. Every time God wants to transition you to the next level, every time God wants to bring out the new you, every time God wants to bring in, he wants to reinvent you. The other test you must go through is called the test of integrity. How does the test of integrity work? This is how it happened. All the power in the house has been given to Joseph. What you do with it, Joseph, is your business. Come on, is anybody hearing me? Potiphar has trusted you with everything. What you now do with it is your business. And guess what? Here comes Mrs. Potiphar. Lie with me. Listen to this. There are a million benefits that lie behind Joseph lying with Mrs. Potiphar. Number one, he and Madam become buddies. Number two, Madam will recommend his promotion and increase in salary. Number three, once you have lied down with somebody, you have connected with that person emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise. So there's a whole lot of benefits that lie ahead of Joseph. But Joseph knew that this power I have today is actually a test of that dream that I had where the moon, the sun, the star is bound before me. There's a greater power that is coming in my future. If I mismanage this one I have right now, I will abort the pregnancy of the other one. So here was he with all the power to lie down with Mrs. Potiphar. You know what he said? How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? In other words, it's not, I know it's your husband that made me the chief slave here, but really it's God that appointed me here. And the God who has appointed me here has promised me something bigger than being Lord over this house or being the chief servant of this house. There's authority that is coming in my future. His sun, moon, and the stars bowing down to me. It's not a small thing. But guess what, sir? Madam, I refuse to commit this wickedness against God because this one is a test on my... If I pass this one, you know what God says? If he can handle this little power he has right now, then I can make him that thing I showed him in the dream. I can give him that level of power. It's called the test of integrity. It has to do with how you use the authority you have right now to manage the people God has given to you. Whether you will abuse or you will use. And guess what? This is where a lot of people fail it. This is where a lot of people miss it. This is where a lot of people have bought their next level in destiny. Because the test of integrity is what you do when nobody is watching. Especially with the power God has given you. And it's my prayer that God will grant you the grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. I said he will grant you the grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. For the last time, he will grant you the grace to pass that test in the name of Jesus. Is it okay to shout a better amen?
Amen.
Come on, can you say better amen?
Amen.
Let me take this last one. Leadership. Everybody say leadership. I didn't know this thing was going to be this difficult. I thought it was going to be very easy for me. I thought I would finish everything in one service. But let me talk to you about leadership. Everybody say leadership. Talk to me, say leadership. Now, how many of you know, please everybody look up here. If they say form a group now, group, and all of you are going to present, do a presentation on behalf of the group. How many of you know that, and it's time to appoint a leader in the group? Can you tell me what normally happens? The person that is going to present for us. Please, in your school, what normally happens? Everybody run away. Am I correct? Please answer me. Am I correct, somebody? Everybody says, Okechukwu is the one that will present for us. Everybody points at, nobody wants to, is it true what I'm talking about? Okay, let me bring it a bit home. Okay, guys, we're going to just do one hangout on Friday night. So you know what? We need to contribute money and so on and so forth. Who is going to be the leader that is going to lead us to bring bigger money? How many of you know nobody wants to do that? Everybody runs away and look for who is going to pay the price. True or false? Please answer me, true or false? Now, please look up here as I wrap up. Back at home, Joseph is used to having his father protect him. If you say, Pam, you don't run to daddy. Daddy will say, don't touch my son. Don't touch my son. Everybody knows that he had a good father in his father. So, gentlemen, Joseph eventually got sold as a slave. And he's used to somebody defending him and protecting him. One of the reasons why he made up his mind. Don't forget, there were slaves in the house of Potiphar before he got there. But guess what? He got into that place and made up his mind that I'm going to serve this man until he, because I'm looking for a godfather. I need somebody that if the chips are down, I can run to him to protect me. He served Potiphar until Potiphar said, I adopt you as a son. I promote you over the other ones. But that was not even it. Now he got to prison. Everybody say prison. Answer me, say prison. I want you to understand the prison Joseph went to is not an ordinary prison. The Bible calls it the king's prison. The people in that prison are all rich, rich prisoners. All of them are serving inside somewhere in Aso Rock. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're not normal prisoners. That's why you have butler, baker, those guys who normally cook for the king. That's number one. Number two, Joseph is the only foreigner inside this prison. If Yahweh gas, everybody will gang up and do what to him? Please answer me. They will beat him up. If something goes wrong, if there's a riot tomorrow, he will be the first to die. He's the non-Egyptian amongst them. So Joseph made up his mind. How do I get a godfather inside this place that if the chips are down tomorrow, that man will rather die to protect me than to allow me to die? Joseph said, the key to it, I'm going to make all these prison warders jobless by doing their job. Are you with me, somebody? And we make them jobless by doing their job. So guess what? It's the job of the prison warder to wake up every morning, go around the cell, make sure everybody's fine. Before they wake up, Joseph has gotten up, he has gone around, he has done their job. 1 month, 2 months, by the time it was 6 months, all the warders discovered that since this boy arrived, they become jobless. He's taking over leadership from them. He's not the one doing all their job. Ladies and gentlemen, all the warders gather together during breakfast and say, guys, we need to appoint somebody who is in charge. This boy, since he came, has made us jobless because he has taken leadership over this prison and he's been the one in charge. They made him the head of the prison. Everybody look up here. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that because Joseph put out his neck and decided that I take the lead in this place, I will work more than every other person in this place. Joseph, the same favor he found in the house of Potiphar, that same favor came upon his life right inside the prison. Look up here, everybody, as I close this morning. See. Everywhere around you, people are looking for who is going to be the leader. In your home, in your class, in your community, in your neighborhood, anywhere you are, there is a cry for leadership. People are looking for that man who is willing to put his neck and say, hold me responsible. I will speak for you people. I will stand for you people. But you know the bad news, ladies and gentlemen, is that most people do not want to play that role of leadership. Most people want to hide at the back. Most people want to take cover at the back and allow somebody else to pay the price. Is anybody hearing me? But what you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is that in playing that role in Potiphar's house, in playing that role in prison, little did Joseph know, is preparing himself to become the leader of the whole world, the number two man in Egypt. Is anybody hearing me? Let me tell you why many of you in your office, only supernatural God overruling mercy can make you a head of department. You know why? Because you carry yourself like a servant, not a leader. You don't dress like a leader. You don't talk like a leader. And when When all the small workers, where they are gossiping and running their mouth, you are always in the middle of them. How many of you know that there are certain establishments that you walk into the place, you say, this one is different from all of them, this is the leader. How do I explain this thing now to you? There is a carriage. Okay, let me just break it down. Even inside church where we are, and this is, I'm sorry to say, but I'm going to say it. There are people who have been many, many years in a department. When it's time to say, okay, we need to change leadership, and their names are suggested, the first response of no. That one, no. They know is simply a reflection of something. Number one, the way she carries herself, she can't lead the people. The way she talks, but you know the worst one? In the time of crisis, how does she respond? If that person is the one that's always fomenting trouble, I don't care how much oil has been poured in your head, in that establishment, you will never be a leader. Is anybody hearing me? No leader wants to appoint somebody that will give him nightmares and sleepless nights. People are looking for somebody who is a unifier, not a scatterer. When things go wrong, what do you do in the midst of that, your team? Do you scatter or unify? How you know leaders is that they are quick to bring everybody together. So when Joseph shows up and the butler and the baker were not looking up, say, calm down, guys, what's the problem? There's no problem God cannot solve. And all of them open up. They've seen a leader. They began to tell their dreams. And then as they tell their dream, he interprets their dream to them. Gentlemen, let me say this to you as I close. How you carry yourself today is a pointer as to how far you will go tomorrow. If you are not a leader today, it's going to be very difficult to be a leader tomorrow. Among the 5 people, among the 10 people, among the 20 people God has given you right now, how do you carry yourself? What role do you play as far as galvanizing the people together? If there's no evidence you are the leader, believe me, if God is struggling to make you lead 20 people, trust me, I don't care the dream he gave to you, to be difficult to give you 1,000 people to lead tomorrow. Because if you are faithful in what is little today, then you're already saying to God, if I give you much, you'll be faithful in it tomorrow. Is anybody hearing me? If Joseph did not manifest leadership in Potiphar's house, if he didn't show leadership in the prison, even Pharaoh would be wicked to make him number 2 in Egypt. And whenever leaders are being picked, this is, look at what just happened in America as I wrap up. So here was Kamala Harris looking for a vice president. And it took a while looking for a vice president. They are shopping for vice president. Shopping for vice president. Shopping for vice president. And it took a while. People were even wondering why they are not able to find one. Then they discovered this gentleman. Is the governor of which state again? Eh? You know, they listen to news. Then, so they discover number 1, he's been a teacher, leader. Number 2, he's been a basketball coach, leader. Number 3, he's now a governor of a state. They've seen the track record from teacher in school, basketball coach, leading a team. And then they've seen that this man has been growing gradually in his leadership. If we make this one vice president, he's already been rehearsing for it long ago. Question, have you been rehearsing for your future? Are you with me, somebody? Have you been rehearsing for your future? The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress. Let me tell you something I told my wife about Kamala Harris that caught my attention. Have you noticed that woman, every time she dresses on suit? As a woman, who knows what I'm talking about? I've not seen her in a dressing that is not suit. I said, has this woman been preparing for vice president for many, many years? She wears more suits than men. She has a presidential look. It was natural when Biden stepped down for her to enter his shoes. She has always carried herself as such. Do you know the most interesting part, ladies and gentlemen? Please, are you with me, somebody? Talk to me, are you with me, somebody? When she addressed the Democratic National Conference in Chicago, I didn't see somebody contesting for election. I saw somebody who has been a president for many, many years, just waiting for the right opportunity to show up. Did you see the calmness, the poise? Please, I'm not saying I'm a Democrat. I hope you understand me, because not small thing, they make Nigerians, they put you for a PDP APC. I'm not, of course, I'm not an American voter, I'm not an American, so you couldn't be accusing me of that. But look up here. I am saying that thing God showed you in your future, if you are going to feature in that future, start behaving it now. Start dressing like it now. There's a particular dressing you will dress. Okay, let me close with this as I close. It's a true story. And I hope she doesn't get angry if she's in church. Please, everybody, so I'll close with this story. Facebook. I was seeing this particular girl. She's my friend on Facebook. I don't know her, but she's always posting. And the content of the posts, I can't mention them on pulpit. Bad. As bad can be. Bad, evil, immoral. Bad. I kept saying, I've seen this girl's face in church. I've seen this face in church. I've seen this face in church. The content of her post, unbelievers don't post it. Is anybody hearing me? I'm closing with this. Sinners don't post it. But she posts it. I can't mention it for decency purpose. Bad. So guess what, guys? I refused to unfriend her. Kept watching it. Anytime I'm going, I scroll, I'll see it again. Graphic. She draws the pictures. She doesn't just say it, she also draws the picture. Anyway, cut a long story short. So one day, I saw from the post, she's in Enugu. And I now chatted, I said, why don't you show up in church? And true to it, she came to church. Came to church, we greeted, we joked and everything. She even took photograph with me. I said, no problem. Took photograph and everything, we talked. I didn't know, I said, God, this photograph, you will save me in Jesus' name. Now photo I take, I'll be pastor before I enter trouble with this photograph. But let's cut a long story short, ladies and gentlemen. I'll close on this note. I'm fast forwarding a long story. So one day I said, I need to see you before you go back to Abuja. And she came and sat down. I've already told my wife was around then. I told my wife said, I beg. I didn't even want to have anything to do with this kind of, when my wife saw the face, the posting, it was too graphic and too scary. My wife said, I beg. You, because I wanted my wife to handle her. She said, no, you handle her. You have the grace for it. So gentlemen, I sat down with her. I said, do you know you're a very nice person? Do you know you're a very decent person? Do you know you're a very good person? I said, why do you post things that make you look bad? Why do you post content that makes you look like you are a terrible person, but you are a good person, I've met you. And then I said to her, I said, are you aware that the internet does not forget? Are you aware that your children and your grandchildren will see this post one day? I said, but let me not shock you further. If tomorrow they narrow down the local government chairman to your village, to your community, to your family, somebody suggests your name. Bam! And they present your name. I said, let's just check her out on Facebook. I said, from your first page on your Facebook, they have disqualified you as local government chairman. I said, but let me tell you the one that is worse. I said, are you aware? If one man proposes to marry you now, he now told his friend, I want to marry one girl. What's her name? Let's check her out on Facebook. The man is already coming for introduction, no? They are already warming up for the wedding. They open your social media account. I said, from the first thing they see, your wedding is canceled. Even the devil will not continue with that wedding. I said, but you are not this kind of person. I've met you. You are decent. You are nice. You are clean. Why do you post this content? She said, it's just a joke. I said, joke? This content joke? Do you know what the internet is? I said, this will stop you from being a political appointee. This will stop you from getting married. I said, because everything you are doing adds up when the real day finally comes. Everything adds up when that day finally comes. Sir, the moment you say my name is so and so, people are checking you out. Oh. And I hope you know embassies are checking people out now. Oh, yes. You apply for American visa, they will check you out very well. How many times you've been to Afghanistan? How many times you passed through Iraq? You will explain, no? What do you find for there? And then you now made one post like that. Sir, everything, your, see, times have changed. Change your mindset. Times have changed. We live in that generation now where there is nothing that is just for it. Everything matters now. Because at the typing of your name with an hashtag, everything will show up. Are you with me, somebody? I'm saying, as God shown, if God hasn't shown you anything great in your future, I'm not preaching to you. It's okay the way you are. Continue this nonsense you are doing, though. But I'm just saying that just in case there is greatness in your future and you are planning ever to walk in that dream God has shown you. Champions are not made in the ring. They are only discovered in the ring. If you don't start rehearsing for it right now, if you don't start talking like a leader, walking like a leader, living like a leader, dressing like one, there's even a dress type that will cancel your wedding when the time shows up. Keep posting it on the internet. Everybody is watching the breast. Everybody is watching it. And they know that you have done enough adverts. And as simple as that looks like, there is a day it will become, what is, it doesn't matter, will become matters arising. And it will be between your fiancé, his two elder brothers, and your best, and his best friend. When they have that court session, you will not be there. Say, but see him now. See him now. I won't marry this kind of person. This will not be wife material now. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. That's why we came this morning, before I pray for you, to pluck off all those feathers. You know what I'm talking about? To remove all those beaks, to take them off. Let something new grow. You can't continue like this. You are a leader. You are a great person. By the way, that person I'm telling you right now, the person I was talking about is a worker in church right now. The person I'm talking about is a worker in church now. She's the most decent human being I've met in my life. All the while she was posting that thing, she wasn't bad. She wasn't immoral. But she was just posting stuff. She has never been a bad person. So I'm not even saying she was bad and changed. I can't reconcile your post and you. Why are you doing this? Say it's a joke. There's another one, member of this church also. She served here and left. I saw she put there on her page, Facebook, you're saying, gold digger. You say what? I say, what do you mean of this? He says it's a joke. Internet does not joke. Oh. The people that will judge you based on what you posted don't joke. They will take it at face value and they will judge you. I don't know who you are, but I pray for you. Nemono koshila barakaya tele morokoto. Shupra de gaselemende boroko supra de gazaya. Shatabada riskamalande brokosete. Ah, when that day shows up, may you not be disqualified. I pray that from where you are right now, you start plucking off feathers, plucking off talons, plucking off beak. Anything that does not align with that leadership, with that dream, align with that purpose, align with that future, anything that doesn't align with where God is taking you to. Every nonsense character, every nonsense habit, every way of living, every dressing, every bad relationship, whatever it is, gentlemen, I declare over you in the name that is above every other name. I pray and I pray for you. When that day comes, And Pharaoh set his eyes on you, Pharaoh will not be in doubt that you are the second in command in the mighty name of Jesus. The way Pharaoh looked at Joseph and Joseph interpreted the dream, wanted to go. Pharaoh said, my friend, stop. You are the one that will do this thing. You are my second in command. Everybody at your word will bow in this land. I don't know who you are, but receive the grace. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet, everybody. And lift up your right hand. I prophesy over you, the future God has shown you, may you begin to rehearse it today. Yeah. 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 Hanama Koshande. Are you aware that in the palace, the next king who is supposed to succeed his father, they take years to train him, to prepare him for the throne. So that when he gets there, he's already prepared. I pray for you. Before you get to your throne, may God grant you the discipline, the wisdom, and the grace to begin to prepare yourself. Talk like it. Walk like it. Live like it. Carry yourself like it. Dress like it. Behave like it. Look like $1 million. Walk like you are the one in charge. Walk like you are the one in charge. Walk like you are the greatest person around that place. I pray that that grace comes upon you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over you that in your day of crowning, remember it's our year of crowns after God has matured you. I pray that in your day of crowning, you will not be disqualified. Nothing will disqualify you. Your past will not disqualify you. Your past will not disqualify you. Your feathers will not disqualify you. Your talons will not disqualify you. Your beak will not disqualify you. May God give you a brand new beginning. Everything you don't need for your future, may God cause them to drop away. I said, let them drop away. Let them drop away. Let them drop away. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak a brand new future for you, a brand new day for you, a brand new person for you. Let the new you emerge. Let the great you emerge. Let the you that is a king emerge. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everything that holds you back and puts you where you've always been, let them go in the name of Jesus. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Let them go in the name of Jesus. And may God usher you into a brand new person created after the image of the picture that he showed you of your future. I bless and dedicate that future, and I declare no devil will stop it from coming to pass. No man will stop it from coming to pass. God will make you everything he has intended for you to become. I consecrate you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say loud amen. Say better amen. Just before you clap, if you're here, you're not born again, you need to do so because it's the beginning of your journey for reinvention. Therefore, will you put your hands on your chest if you need Jesus in your life? Say after me, Lord Jesus, it is me that you called this morning. I'm sorry for the life I've lived, for the sins that I've been living in. This morning I ask for mercy and I receive forgiveness. I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I commit my life to you. From this day forward, I will live all the days of my life for you. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray that, Father, you will bless these ones who have prayed this prayer from their hearts. The power and the grace of salvation now appears to them. And from this day forward, they will never be the same again. I thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Would you go ahead and give God praise in the house this morning?
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.